We are alive.
Hello, we missed you. Are you still there?
Happy Thanksgiving to all the Girl Meets Girl podcast family listeners.
And thanks for voting.
And by family, we mean family. Hello, this is Toast.
And this is Sienna.
And you are listening to Girl Meets Girl, the podcast, episode number 80. Catching up on listener questions. That's what this whole episode is going to be about. We are recording this on Monday, November 24th, 2008. A bunch of listener questions ranging from tofu and guitar strings to meditation, adultery, and monogamy. And also in this episode, I mean, we have it all in this episode, folks. Women's professional football. Yes, there is such a thing. Vegan Thanksgiving with 400 other people.
Plus animals.
Hawaii's own 25-cent coin. And don't be left out on December 10th. Did you hear about it? Day Without a Gay is December 10th. We'll tell you all about it. Okay, we're going to get right into it. Ready? Announcement time first. Ready, Freddy?
Turtle Myrtle.
Turtle Myrtle.
Turtle Myrtle.
Turtles. Turtle.
Okay, so let's move on to Myrtle. Announcements.
Bitter. What did Barack Obama get for Joe Biden for Joe's 66th birthday on November 19th?
One of my favorite things in the world.
A dozen.
Or 12 of my favorite things in the world.
Yeah, a dozen cupcakes.
I know, but
he stole our idea.
He stole our idea, and they didn't give enough information because they should say what kind of cupcakes.
Yeah, I don't.
I know they can't do that, or maybe they because have. They don't want to say, you know, like,
unless Obama endorses.
Unless they did and I just missed it. I don't know. Well,
anyways,
I am wondering what kind of cupcakes a president would choose.
Yeah. And he gave
them. Do you think it was Perfect Endings? Do you think it was Sprinkles Cupcakes? Do you think Michelle Obama baked them and the kids helped?
Oh,
and
they
were all,
just,
they were all, you know.
So perfect.
All funny kind.
God, Lord. Okay. Next announcement. Warm welcomes going out to the new commentors at girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com. Thanks so much, you guys. It's great to have some new names in there.
Mm-hmm.
We have Jill,
mm-hmm.
who's out in not quite East Coast, but not quite Midwest.
Jill, who drank fish water because she was moving when she was drunk.
Gosh. And then we have Allie and Krista in Washington State. And we had a mysterious CG person who's apparently the CPR police.
Yes.
So thanks all of you for commenting.
And this past weekend, no, it wasn't this past weekend. It was the weekend before.
Yeah. Right? The weekend that we did not come out with a podcast.
Which was also this past weekend. It wasn't that funny. Okay. We met
it's a still
listener,
a weekend to me. It's Monday. We're good.
Named Kate. And Kate sent us a really nice email. And she actually felt, she shared how she felt about the song Good Enough. And sent us a very heartfelt email, and it was just really, really nice. But she's also just come back from the Peace Corps.
She was in Bulgaria.
She was in Bulgaria.
For her time of service there.
And what was especially exciting was that she had asked us if we had any gigs and that she was stopping through California. And we said we had our little Sunday gig, and she was able to make it.
So that Sunday, we met her in person, and we spent lunchtime together. And
we got
to talk. Of course, not enough. You know,
not enough. I mean, it's never enough time.
And plus, she had to get back on the road. She drove to Portland that day and night.
I know. And she takes pictures while she drives.
Okay.
She texts while she drives.
So send prayers out for your fellow
to
listener,
Kate.
And now, keep in mind, she just returned 5 weeks ago from Bulgaria.
I know.
So she's kind of getting reacclimated to the United States.
But what's really exciting is that, okay, Kate is a fellow gay. And
person.
A fellow gay person. And she's very cute, good for the team. Intelligent.
Intelligent and deep has thinker. A great heart, analytical. And she is on this extended road trip, checking out places to see what kind of community there is for a gay person. And she's going to decide where she wants to live. So it's really exciting.
So if you want to campaign to be the future home of Kate,
for Kate,
feel free to just jump on there and just, you know,
leave it in the comments.
Yeah, advertise your locale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So far, I think she's been to California, Portland. She's in Seattle or she's leaving Seattle.
We believe she's in Seattle at the time of this recording.
Okay. And she has a few other stops. But if you know of a good place, just comment on it.
Okay. And now another thing that another listener has done, which is very cool. Jill, thank you so much. Okay, Jill, the new commenter, she has built a group pool at Flickr, the photo sharing website, where you can share and view Prop 8 protest pictures. Because as you know, we had a whole bunch of nationwide protests here. And we have a bunch of people who have already shared some really great ones. I was really impressed. They came from San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and New Jersey so far. Maybe there's been more. So I haven't checked today. But we're posting the link to this group up in the show notes. Again, this is a group pool at Flickr. And I just wanted to share some of the signs that were in the pictures because I had some chuckles, some good ones there. Okay. Don't be gaycist was one. I was like, that's brilliant. That's a good one. Just frames it very well. Don't be gaycist. Focus on your own family. I like that. And I also liked, here comes the pride.
Here comes the pride.
That's a good one, huh? Mm-hmm. That's so gay. Here comes the pride. and then somebody else had a sign that said, just married. But the married was crossed out.
I like that one.
And then instead they put segregated.
That's a good one.
So their sign said, just segregated. Very timely. Mormon mom for gay marriage. Somebody was holding a sign that said that. Very courageous. Mm-hmm. Love it. Thank you, Mormon mom. Another sign said, this is the civil rights movement of our generation. I agree with that sentiment. And then another one that I was like, that's great. Good. Let everybody know. Because their sign, the person's sign said, I'm straight and I'm pissed. So if you want to see those signs and the people holding them and more awesome pictures, go to the show notes and click on the link.
Okay, so you know how we talk a lot about how one gig leads to this and how you just never know who you're going to meet at a gig and all of that stuff. Well, recently we had a CD order come through and the person bought all of our CDs online. And she also sent an email asking if they could be delivered to her by a certain date. And of course, you know, we made that happen. But she later shared with us through email that she had not even heard about us, but she went on a recommendation of a friend who saw us at the concert we did at OC Pavilion. Mm-hmm. So you just never know.
Who knew?
Who knew? And the thing about it that
so
makes
thank
this,
you, person who recommended yeah, us.
Thank you, person. The really interesting thing about this is that the person who bought our CDs, it turns out she was celebrating an anniversary with her partner of 3 years. And she is also a mom. And she's Christian. And she, it was just really good to hear her story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But even more so exciting was that we also got to meet them this past Sunday.
Yeah.
Which is so nice because we get a lot of emails. We love when people share with us via email and you know, share their stories and how they're feeling and what's going on with their lives. But what's even more exciting is to now have a face
behind the words of their email, and to get to meet in person and feel their vibe. And it was so, so nice to meet the two of them. So,
yeah, to be able to meet and just touch base, shake hands, you know, then go on your way kind of thing through life. But you know the other person's out there, and we're all like community, and we all, it's great. So thank you.
Yeah. And then what was really pretty exciting too was that the person that wrote to us, the person that ordered the CDs, she ordered them for her partner for their anniversary. And so it was a surprise and all of that. And the partner did not know that she was corresponding with us, and didn't know about the fact that we perform at that meditation church every Sunday. And so anyways, for this past Sunday, which was the actual date of their anniversary, she told her partner that she wanted to go to church. And her partner was kind of like, because they had had a bad experience at the church that they had gone to. That was actually a Baptist church, right?
And just so happened, on the Sunday they went to that Baptist church long ago, the sermon was in large part about how homosexuality is just bad, bad, bad.
Yes. So they did not go back. But anyways, so with some, you know, she persuaded her partner, I really would like to go to church today. So she took her to...
not a Baptist church.
Not a Baptist church. She took her to the church that we play at every Sunday. And on the way there, they played our CD in the car, and that was the first time they heard us. And then when they got to the church, they were a little late, but they were signing the guest book. And as they were signing it, you know, they could hear us singing. And so her partner was like, those voices sound familiar. And so it was a really big surprise for her partner. I guess it was McKenna overload, huh?
Yeah, really. Oh my goodness.
Poor thing. She didn't know what was going on. And also for this partner, and again, Toast and I are very bad gays when it comes to sports. Although we do have a sport item in this podcast.
So keep listening.
But
I gotta keep listening too. I don't know what it is.
The partner was missing a football game. Football, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. 49ers are our football team. Oh, now I know what you're talking about with sports.
So anyways, so it was just a very exciting Sunday. And didn't something else happen this weekend?
Yeah, we went to a Feed the Turkeys kind of day.
Yeah, we did. Okay, but we'll talk a little more about that. That was a long, rambling story, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's okay. That's what this podcast is about. Just sharing.
Ramble, bramble.
Sharing. Turtle okay. Myrtle.
Turtle Myrtle.
We want to take this time now to thank the LN, the Lesbian News, for making their publication available to Girl Meets Girl listeners free online. LN is the nation's number one magazine for lesbians of all colors and viewpoints.
And you're the only ones that they're offering it free to.
Only if you go to girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com. Show notes for this episode, number 80, and we have a link. But the Ellen is 34 years old, and it is the longest running national lesbian publication. Their website is thelnmag.com. And your links to the LN's current issue, free online for you, are in the show notes for this episode. Once again, our website is girlmeetsgirlpodcast.com.
Let's move on to the contest. All right. Well, once upon a time, long, long ago,
in a galaxy
far,
far away,
there was a contest. Do you remember what it was?
Yes. The prize is Mahalo scented candles.
Mahalo scented.
That's the, right? Isn't that the scent's name? Yeah. Now, this name was bestowed by listener Shomo.
Yay, Shomo!
Who is a...
We love Shomo.
There must be a name, right? A candlestick maker?
What?
You know, a cobbler makes shoes and a tailor makes clothes. What is a candle maker? I don't know. There must be a name. But Mahalo, it smells to...
A candler.
Candler. There you go. Probably Candler.
I'm making that
No,
up.
I think that's right. Okay. So, mahalo.
Shomo. But mahalo to Shomo.
Yeah, mahalo to Shomo. Thanks, Ashomo. She doesn't tell us what scents are part of the mahalo candle, but I want to give you an idea of what it is. And to me, when I smell it, it smells like a mixture of apple, cinnamon, holiday spice type of.
Yeah,
I really like it. So that's the prize. Now, people entered by suggesting hostess type gifts to have on hand during the holiday season for unexpected gift giving. Okay.
Yes.
So we got a winner. And thank you to everybody who put up their suggestions.
Mm-hmm. So the winner for this contest, dun, 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 dun,
we have a winner,
is Shannon.
Woo, 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 woo.
Yay, Shannon. And we loved, you had some really great ideas. Let's see. I believe, though, I think you had a few entries, actually. But the one that won was your suggestion of...
Toast is making me seasick.
Oh, sorry. My God. was the one about having different drinks on hand because it was a really multi-purpose type of gift to have. So anyways, I'll just read what Shannon wrote. So she wrote, going to give this a try. For a hostess gift for the upcoming holidays, I would say keep on hand an interesting beverage, either a mid-priced, but recommended, bottle of wine or a holiday bag of coffee. I think that's a good idea, holiday bag of coffee, or even several decoratively boxed selections of individual serving hot drinks. This has the added benefit for non-alcohol, non-coffee drinkers like me, to have a more sophisticated option than water or milk on hand if suddenly a holiday guest appears. Or add a gift bag and you have a quick hostess gift for a last minute party. So, I like that there's two. Yeah.
Yeah,
you can serve it or you can give it as a gift. And those are really great suggestions. So thank you so much. And you win the mahalo candle.
So Shannon, congratulations. And please email us with a mailing address.
Yes.
And we will make
Although we know we can get it somewhere else.
We'll make sure Shomo knows where to send the prize candles. And once again, thank you so much.
Yes.
So much, Shomo. Right?
Yeah, Shomo's awesome. Okay. But what was so hilarious, Toast, read Jill's.
Oh, okay.
God, this just cracked me up.
Jill said...
It's the same Jill, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. As far as a hostess gift goes... we're a couple of dykes, so gifting rarely crosses our collective minds. I couldn't even imagine having holiday guests, let alone giving them a gift for showing up. I guess since I'm a massage therapist, a 10-minute neck and shoulder rub.
Hey, I'll take that.
I don't know.
I will take a 10-minute. You know what? I would say, how about a 30-minute
neck and shoulder rub? That's okay. Jill's trying to take my job.
Jill, if we invite you to a party, bring that.
Alrighty. Okay. Congratulations.
What is that? That's weird. Okay.
And now,
we are actually. Our friend and listener, Robert, no longer on the thong. He's called something else now, though, right? I think it's Robert, no longer on the thong. Okay. If you're lost, that's okay. We'll just leave it at that.
Just imagine we just said Robert. You'll be fine.
He actually has some donations for some upcoming...
prizes.
Yeah, for some prizes. So we're going to be meeting up with him socially. And we'll be having another contest very soon.
So thank you for contributing.
Yes.
All right. Ready? We're going to head into the featured topic, which is pretty much... Reggie? Which is pretty much just a... patchwork.
Kind of like last time.
It's
Sorry.
A patchwork. But we know we did have a lot of listener questions that we have ignored up till now. So,
okay,
come on.
You know what? Yeah, that's true.
Right? Come on. So don't be surprised if you thought we forgot, but you're going to hear your question now.
Oh, and if we did forget, just email us again.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Question number one.
Number one.
From, I don't know who it's from. Okay, but it's written
It's written
in Pidgin English.
Is it?
So.
Oh, I thought that was you.
No, I didn't write it like that. Okay, here we go. Question one.
No, not that you wrote the question, but that when you translated it into the notes, you pigeoned it.
Nope.
Okay.
I just copy paste.
All right. Number one.
The chemistry discussion was kind of thorough, but what happened to the adultery part? Seems that the talk was mostly about crushes / attractions and never go to the act upon stage. And then at that point, post-adultery, is the relationship over? Now, this is referring to like, what is this? Podcast number 70-something?
Is this from Nell?
I don't know. I didn't retain. I didn't paste in the.
Okay.
But okay. Anyways. So what? Do you have something to say about this? This is question one. Do you have something?
Well.
I have something.
Let me just jog my memory about what. I guess we didn't really talk about that part.
Okay. Here's our chance.
This person is correct.
Here's our chance.
Okay. Well, did you want to. You seem ready. I'm not ready. Go ahead.
Well, okay. So the main question is, well, there's two parts to this question. First, what happened to the adultery part? The answer to that is, I guess we forgot, or we were too scared to go into it subconsciously or something. But the second part of the question, at the point of post-adultery, is the relationship over?
Yes.
It's either going to be yes or no, right? It's either going to be yes or no. So I think it just so depends on each individual relationship. Mm-hmm. I think some relationships seem to have gotten through that.
Right.
And that just blows my mind in a good way. I mean, I think that's great. And more power to them. I mean, respect to the couple that can work through that in a genuine way.
Yeah, because you know what? I think if a couple can work through that,
yeah,
like you said, in a genuine way, mm-hmm. and not just like harboring resentment, mm-hmm. and just like, mm-hmm. letting it last forever and ever and being mean to each other.
Mm-hmm. They can get through anything,
right? Exactly.
Yep.
I think that's pretty incredible. And I think that, you know, to rebuild trust coming from that, mm-hmm. I can't imagine.
Me neither.
Like, how much closer you could be and how much more intimate you could be.
Yeah.
After working through that, you know, and even the level of trust after you rebuild it, it's probably so much more solid, and you know that you can get through, you know, it's a different kind of trust, I think, after that.
But then at the same time, I mean, I feel like maybe we're being a little idealistic, because let's say a couple does work through it in the most genuine way that they can. But I can still see that there might be trust issues. I mean, come on, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's just in a different place, maybe? You know, it's hard for us to talk about this because we haven't had this experience. And I thank God that we haven't. But I kind of see it as being like, you know, if somebody in the relationship does commit adultery, I think they better be prepared to have the relationship be over. Because you never know. I mean, you're changing it.
And it really is over, because it's like...
And even if you don't get caught, because it's...
You know what?
It's,
and that's the thing too.
Changed, like, everything.
Okay. And I have committed adultery.
Okay.
I have.
Okay.
Not on you. And I'm not proud of it. And I think that... for anyone on the fence about whether or not to do that, just don't.
Nip it in the bud.
Seriously.
Man. Nip it in the bud. You know what? Walk away, shut the door, close it down, burn
it. Yes, exactly. Because the thing about it is that it may seem like, I mean, there's, it's just such a complex issue because there could be a million and one reasons why the current relationship isn't working to begin with, why the other person even has an opportunity to commit adultery. There's just so many
an opportunity or ways a, or you a can desire
that I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So, but the thing about it is whether it's used as an escape from the relationship that they're currently in, or you know, whether the relationship really is just over and they're looking for something to just ruin it, you know, like how just to have a reason. It's not worth it to go through it that way. And it might seem, it really is the easy way out to do something like that, to commit adultery.
Or the hard way, I mean.
I mean, yeah, it depends. It depends on how you're
at that point.
It depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
But then a lot of people, I think, I know I did, I thought it was going to be the easier way, you know, to just, to do that instead of telling the person, you know, this isn't working for me anymore. It hasn't been working for a long time and, you know, this and that, this and that. But it really, I mean, I don't think any situation really is worth it.
And I think now as we're talking about it more, I'm coming to realize I want to refine my answer a little bit.
Go ahead.
The initial question was, at that point, post-adultery, is the relationship over? And now my more clarified answer would be, I think, yes. Like, that relationship, as it exists, at that point, is over. Even if you stay together, the relationship you had before is over. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might stay together, but it's going to be a different kind of relationship.
I think it already is.
Right.
If you've committed, if you're on the road to committing adultery, I think the relationship has already changed. Like, it's already, in a way, it's already over.
I mean, relationships are always changing, but yeah, once you commit adultery, that's...
I think if you're on that road, like you're, you know, you're kind of going, okay, like
it's a possibility.
What do I do? You know, like there's a person involved where you could and all that kind of stuff. I think your relationship is pretty much leaning to being over. You know what I mean?
It's already different.
It's already something has happened a while back that maybe wasn't addressed or looked at. And
so
be brave and don't sweep a lot under the rug. And be brave. Be brave. It's hard, but just be brave. Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not worth it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay. Don't do it.
Look, you're scaring Kumin.
Sorry, Kumin.
Question number two. Well, look at this one. This is a trip.
Okay, let's see it.
Oh, you know what? This is the second part. This is continuing. Wow, this person has a lot of questions. But it's good ones. Very, like, intellectual kind. Surely, that depends on the couple. But why is it that, as same-gendered couples, we still are mostly monogamous? Aren't monogamous couplings mostly to guarantee that the man is raising his children? And is monogamy more a lesbian thing, with guys more readily following their crotches, even while in long-term relationships? Jeez. Oh.
I know
college
that's
kind of level questions, huh?
I know the that is a stereotype, huh? About guys.
I never thought of it. But I guess I could agree with, I mean, yeah, I guess.
I mean, that's a stereotype.
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, it's not a stereotype that was so large in my mind. Like, when I think of a gay guy couple, I don't think, they're probably just not really committed or they're not really monogamous.
Oh,
or
no,
whatever.
No. I guess, okay, maybe I'm mistaken here. I guess I'm just thinking more gays versus lesbians.
Oh, gay guys versus lesbians.
Okay. Yeah. Because when you pick up, well, the why I get that, and I'm not saying that they are like that, because mm-hmm. we certainly know a lot of gay guys who are wonderfully monogamous, yeah. who are working through relationships, who have been through relationships and have been faithful. Mm-hmm. But I guess when you look at magazines geared towards gay men,
mm-hmm. like the cruising so much thing of and all
it,
that stuff.
So much of it is, yeah.
Like hookups and...
Yeah, there's yeah, so much yeah. of the pages sure. are devoted to that versus a lesbian magazine where, yeah, there's some of that, but it's a lot of it really is like couples therapy and, you know, insemination.
The women travel group.
Family group. Yeah, it's right. like, it's, right. That's you true. Know, that's so... True.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm just basing it on that.
Hey, it's something. Well, why is it that as same-gendered couples, we still are mostly monogamous? Maybe we're just following social norms. Maybe we think we have to be like straight couples.
But I don't think many straight couples are monogamous.
But they act like they are.
I don't.
But I mean... I think that just so depends
and
on
maybe
the individual.
And maybe there's a few people. Like, if you're closeted and you're gay and you got someone, you're going to stick with them. Because right. how are you going to find someone else?
Right, right.
That's not true. But it is. I think it's hard to find people. Don't you think?
Yeah.
It is, right?
I think it can be, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Somebody that...
Because I cannot even imagine dating now.
Good.
Like, I can't. What would that world be like? I would just be... I just cannot imagine it. No, I mean, I can imagine it, but then I can't... I'm exaggerating. So,
well, I just thought, well, so maybe the reason we're monogamous is we're just tired of dating.
Just tired already.
Just stay where you stay.
Maybe.
No.
I
I think maybe it's just a personality thing, because I think some people are more attracted to the idea of building and nesting and rooting in a home, you know, hearth space. And then maybe some other personality types they're not really turned on by that. They're not interested in that. They more rather just kind of be more independent-ish and just go through the world and, you know.
Not be attached.
Yeah. Not be rooted anywhere. Kind of just float around and do their own thing. And mm-hmm. maybe it's just a personality type thing.
We're no help. Okay. Number three. See, we get all types of questions here on the podcast. And this one is proof of that. Number three, what's the difference between soft and firm tofu besides their texture? Is there something in them that makes them firmer? Does having the tofu be firmer or softer make a big difference in how you cook or use it? Well, okay. When I read that question, I thought, well, you know, I didn't really ever think about that, but I just thought that the softer tofu had more water in it.
Right.
It was less pressed out.
Right.
That's why it's soft versus the firm tofu. But then Toast, did you Google it?
I Googled it.
Okay.
It's
so
on,
tell us.
There's an entry in Wikipedia on tofu and it's long. Look at this entry. Look how long it is, wow. Sienna. Oh my goodness.
That's someone
so
that
I'm
loves...
not going to read all of that.
No. Okay.
But I'll put the link up to the show notes.
Okay. But is there something in it? I was going to say a chemical, but well, is there something that makes it?
Now, believe it or not, I did see tofu being made once at a factory in Honolulu. And they were adding some kind of like chemicals, but don't be afraid. It's not like harmful chemicals. It's chemicals meaning like salt.
Are you sure?
Salt and, acid type of things.
Not harmful.
No. Yeah, let me see here.
Just acid
coagulants.
And salt.
They called it coagulants.
Okay.
Let's see. A naturally occurring organic acid also used in cheese making.
That looks very
kind of like soybean cheese. That's what tofu is. So the more that they apparently, the more that they
the more coagulants that they add, like enzymes and stuff.
That makes sense.
Stuff, then the firmer it gets. Yeah, it makes sense, right?
But if you, and the texture does contribute to whatever recipe you're making. So yes. If you are going to do a stir fry, say, you want to use a more firm tofu, because if you're going to be like stirring it around, you don't want it to fall apart. If you're going to do a recipe that maybe you're doing scrambled eggs with tofu, you want a soft tofu because you can mush it around.
So yes, it does
matter.
Tofu
scramble.
So it does matter.
And for anyone who is vegetarian out there, not vegan, but vegetarian, you can use the soft tofu to make fake egg salad.
Like egg salad sandwich kind.
Mm-hmm, like egg salad sandwich. Mm-hmm. And you would just get the soft tofu and put whatever favorite mayonnaise that you like and add cracked pepper to it, salt, and any other kind of spices. If you're doing the Hali style, the Hali kind, they put pickles, right?
Relish.
Ooh. But anyways, you can do that. Some people put chopped black olives in their egg salad. So you could do that with a tofu fake egg salad.
Little celery bits. Do people do
little,
that?
You could do little celery bits. But you'd be pretty amazed because it tastes very much like egg salad. Now, if you're using regular mayo does have eggs in it, and that's why this recipe wouldn't be vegan, but you can cut down on your egg consumption by using tofu in there instead. So you are tasting the egg from the mayo. But if you wanted it to truly be vegan, you could use something called veggie-naise, which is a vegan mayo-like spread.
See, all kinds of
that
questions.
That was a recipe from the top of my head. No, we really did. We really have eaten it. And
yeah, Sienna's made it.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good. Number four. Another food question from live from NM. Live from New Mexico says.
You know, we touched on this before.
I know, but we need to get a recipe from somebody.
We were asking. Okay, well, ask the question. Go ahead.
Live from New Mexico says, I really like the taste of curry powder, but I've never cooked with it. Does anyone have a simple recipe they've used before that I could try?
Well, our listeners will probably put up a recipe.
Probably
somebody
Mel.
Knows.
Because Mel is pretty
good. I know, poor Mel. She's been like the recipe person.
Yeah, but sounds like Mel.
She cooks,
She'll just whip up some cookies
and
for people,
she made,
right?
You know she what? Said. She made cookies for Cammie and Dory, who she met up with in Hawaii.
See?
I was jealous. Okay. I was like, hey, I want cookies.
But we're not taking you for granted, Mel.
Yeah, we're not taking you for granted. And but when we did discuss this question in another podcast, we did ask live from NM what type of curry this person was interested in making. Because there's Thai curries, there's Indian curries. Thai curry will normally they are...
Well, simple. She said a simple. It sounds like she's open to any kind of simple recipe.
A simple recipe would be you make it to taste. You buy a light...
Oh, look at you just whipping it out.
It's in my head.
I'm excited.
From the top of my head, again, it's just, it really is certain key ingredients.
Okay.
And then you play around with the amounts.
Okay.
So maybe just start off. Okay. I know live from NM is not vegetarian. Wait, am I right? I don't know.
Probably
not,
right.
Not
most
thinking,
people are not
maybe
vegetarian.
Not. Okay.
So.
So what you could do is just, let's say... Okay, say if you're going to... Well, is this the same person that asked the tofu question?
I don't think so.
Okay. I was going to give a tofu curry recipe. Okay. You could do something like you throw a little oil in a pan and then you cut up probably a yellow or white onion. Throw that in there. Get it all nice and clear. Wait till the onion's nice and clear. And then with that, you can just brown your meat if you're going to put meat in there. So maybe if it's chicken or whatever. But then what you want to do, regardless of whether you use meat or tofu in the recipe or none of that, you would need some kind of a broth. So maybe like a
can of, and this would be simple, a can of maybe chicken broth, or you could use a vegetable broth. And then you would use a can of light coconut milk. And don't use the coconut milk that has sweetener in it, because you can get sweet coconut milk that has sugar in it, or regular coconut milk. And you want the regular one. You don't want the sweet one. Put that in there, and then you start with like a teaspoon of curry powder, and then you would just keep adding depending on taste. Make sure you have salt in there, and mix, and that would be like a yellow curry.
Really? That's it, huh?
Well, I mean, there's more. I mean, you could add, for instance, if you wanted to do Thai curry, it would be a similar kind of blend, but you would use maybe a red curry paste. And another key ingredient for Thai curry is you would add fresh basil and something called fish sauce.
Okay, that's less simple. So we'll stick with the first one. Cool.
But that's just, I mean, you have to just do it to taste. But those are your key ingredients would really be like a chicken broth and your coconut milk, your curry powder, and some kind of an oil other than the oil that comes from the coconut milk. So you could use oil or butter.
Okay.
And just
cool. Well, that took care of that.
Right.
And if any of you out there have other recipes you'd like to contribute, of course, comment away in episode number 80.
Oh, comments. And another thing too, that this is like a little trick. When you are doing something with spices and you are at the point, say you're cooking your onions down and you're waiting till they're clear and stuff, it's nice to add the spice in at that point, and you mix it and you kind of cook the spice down, and then you add all your other stuff, because sometimes the spice can taste raw, or meaning like it just tastes too
up
spicy.
Too upfront. Yeah, it's not blended in. It's not with blended everything. In it's not mellowed
and merged.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. That's why a lot of things, like, you'll make it and then it tastes better the next day. Some things, right? Like mm-hmm. chili and mm-hmm. some soups and stuff. Okay. Whew, this is turning into the food podcast. Okay, now we're going to move on to another topic. Question number 5. Okay, gang. I got a few questions. Does anyone do yoga and meditation? Girls, if you do, can we maybe do a podcast on that? I've been watching Dr. Oz Files on Discovery Health. As you all already know, I have been working out and trying to change my eating styles to become healthier and lose some weight. In the last almost 4 years, I have lost 54 pounds.
Hey, wow.
I know. That's what a great accomplishment, man. That's so awesome. I would like to lose 30 more. While I was watching Dr. Oz, he was talking about how stress, who has that, ages you more quickly and can do damage from the inside out. So I am thinking, along with my exercising, if I could learn to meditate and maybe do yoga, I could relieve some of my stress or learn to handle it better than clenching my jaws and causing my TMJ. So if anyone has any info/advice to get me started, I would greatly appreciate it. I want to be the healthiest me I can be. Thanks in advance.
I like that.
Woohoo! Man, see, our listeners just rock. And to illustrate that, we had another listener comment back and suggest a book for that called Mindfulness in Plain English. And I don't know who the author is, but that was a book recommendation. Mindfulness in Plain English. So thank you.
And I love Dr. Oz. I have to see if we get that Dr. Oz Files on our Discovery. Oh, do we have Discovery Health?
I don't know.
But anyways, I would love to see that show. I just see him when he's on Oprah. But yeah, that's so true about the stress and how that does age us more quickly. And that's why he has all kinds of tests that you take to see what your real age is versus your chronological age. Mm. But yeah, because when we're stressed, our body produces something called cortisol, which makes us gain weight, actually, around our middle. That's where, like, the stress response is. You would gain weight in your middle section.
That's where I've put on some weight recently. So I have to, not have to, I want to, like.
Have you really put on weight there?
I have, yes.
I have. Just a little.
Are you stressed?
I'm not stressing about that. You know, I'm like, okay, well, just a little.
Yeah.
But okay. So I think like there's a lot of different things you can do. If you want to try yoga, I got to tell you, there's like this incredible yoga for beginners, which is just the, to me, I've tried a lot of different and have a lot of different yoga
workouts on tape
and stuff like that. But the one that was the most, I think, user-friendly is a 20-minute routine by a woman named Patricia Walden, and it's called PM Yoga. And the great thing is that it sounds like if you have TMJ and you're clenching your jaws, it sounds like that's probably happening at night. I'm not sure, but maybe during your sleep. So a PM yoga practice would be fantastic. You know, do it before you go to bed. Preferably like after you shower and you've already gotten to a point of relaxation and you can kind of do 20 minutes of yoga. That would be great. And it really is good for beginners. But it's PM Yoga by Patricia Walden. And I believe you can get that from Gaia. If you go to Gaia.com, G-A-I-A.com, you can find that. It is an older yoga instruction tape, but they do have it on DVD, and it actually is a beautiful DVD to watch as well, so it doesn't look too dated and you'll be able to handle it. But it's really good. But another thing, like if you don't have time for yoga, say, and you're really looking for just more stress relief, another good thing is to have essential oils on hand, because they do wonders. If you're hyper, hyper sensitive to smells, and essential oils might be too strong for you, then that might not be a good way to go. Or you might want to just dilute the oils so you're not having it in a full strength. But a good stress relieving oil is something like lavender. That's a good one. Another stress relieving oil would be, say, grapefruit oil. And again, get your oil in its purest form, because you don't want to be inhaling in toxins of a mixed oil that a company might be using, you know, selling what they're calling an essential oil, because it does have the real stuff in it, but they've mixed it with other chemicals to make it go a longer way. You don't want to be smelling those chemicals. But oils really are incredible at relieving stress. And you can just have a tiny little vial with you, like in your bag or whatever. So anytime, like if you're driving in traffic, just whip it out and take a deep inhale of it.
Snort some oil.
It's really great. So, I mean, I use it all the time, don't I?
Yeah, like, and you just all the time. Sniff it. Yeah, you don't. I mean, don't you can take put a deep it in your inhale. Nose or anything, okay?
Yeah, and then you also have to be careful to not use the oil directly on your skin, because you might be more sensitive, and it may actually burn you depending on what oil you use.
So you kind of have to test it and be cautious first. And if you want to dilute it, then what do you do?
How do you dilute it? If you want to dilute it and still get the benefits of using essential oils, you would just get like a spray bottle, a dark colored spray bottle, so that your oil won't get rancid
by being exposed to the sun,
being exposed to light. Right. And you would just mix it to according to your taste or your smell, according to your smell. And you would just use purified water, add several drops of oil, start with maybe 10 drops for maybe a 4-ounce bottle of water. Start with that first and see how that is. Shake it up well each time you use it, and spray away. So you could spray your room, your bedroom, before you go to bed. Mm. But again, that's if, you know, you're really sensitive to oil.
Cool.
To smells. Cool. You could also get a diffuser. I mean, there's so many ways, but, you know, what's nice about the oil is it's really convenient and you don't need a lot of time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yet you still get some benefit.
Right.
You know, so if you can't do your yoga, sniff some oil.
And it keeps your car smelling good.
Yeah. And it helps meditation too.
Yeah. I just wanted to put in a comment about meditation and yoga from my experience. For me, meditation is stressful. Like, I found that, and I think this is true for everybody. I mean, this is the whole idea of meditation, or one form of it, I should say, because there's so many different forms. But one common form is just to just sit, right? Just sit. Be still. Focus on one thing, usually your breathing, but just sit. And your mind and your body is going to want to get up and write down a note because, oh, you have to write a note to yourself because you just remembered you have to do something later that day and you don't want to forget. And all these things will come to your mind and come start to surface, and you're just going to get antsy and you want to get up. And
yeah.
But you have to make yourself just sit.
Or you feel itchy all of a sudden.
Right. And that's what I mean by it's stressful to me, because I'm like fighting these urges to get up and do this and that. You know, it's like fighting this. But
you're fighting the mind. That's the mind.
Right. And I have experienced pushing through that and forcing myself to just sit. And yeah, I've done it long enough until I have entered that state of mind where it's like, I'm cool and I can just sit and I'm fine. And it's really
the state of no mind.
And it's really pretty cool. Yeah. It's all like, wow, all right.
And I have to say that when Toast is meditating regularly, I can totally tell. The energy is just so different. So much more loving. You're so much more loving.
But here's the thing.
Here's the thing. To me.
Like you said about oils, like that's a quick thing. But I think with meditation,
that's a lifelong practice.
Right. And I mean, for me, like, wow, man, you know, to get over the hump and get to the other side where you are mellow and you're like chilling and it's all good and you do feel that sense of oneness with everything, like, that takes time. It's going to take it's taken me, like, you know, 30, 45 minutes at least, you know? I mean, maybe depends on a fluke of, or just being graced with or blessed with something that particular instant, it might take less time, like 5 or 10 minutes, but it's not something that you can control, really. You can't force yourself to get into that space, I think. At least not when you first start out. You know, that's the whole thing. All you can do is
practice.
Yeah, all you can do is force yourself to stay still. Physically, you know, because your mind is going to do what it's going to do. And all you can do is just sit there and then wait for your mind to just chill out. But yeah, so it takes a lot more time, I think. So what I've found that works better for me, because I feel like, okay, I do have time for this, is yoga-ish type of stuff. Deep breathing and movement. And I can spend like maybe 10, 15 minutes with that. And after I'm done, I feel more ready for the day, more stretched out. It's amazing what just 15 minutes of deep breathing and stretching can do. Yeah. And to me, I mean, that is a form of meditation too. And because it does involve movement, I'm not just sitting still, because it involves movement and I can put my focus on that movement. I think that's easier for me at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can feel like, okay, 15 minutes and I'm on my way.
Yeah.
That's cool. Whereas I'm going to sit here for 45 minutes and not even know if by then my mind will be chilled out and I'll be relaxed. You know what I mean? Whereas pretty consistently after 15 minutes of doing the breathing and stretching, I feel good.
But I have noticed that when I am doing the other kind of meditation that you're talking about,
just
that frustrates
you.
Yeah. That I find that if I'm not goal oriented about it, like if I'm not going, okay, I'm going to be relaxed after this, or okay, I have to just sit here and not move. Like, you know, if I'm less stringent about it, I guess.
Less goal-oriented.
If I just sit there and if I just really focus on my breath, because my mind can be on my breath.
Right.
kind of like how you're saying with movement.
Okay, okay.
Your mind can be focused on the movement. Mm-hmm. My mind can be focused on my breath. And if I, if my mind travels to someplace else, which I'll just does, say, right? Okay, it's going here. And then I just bring it back to the center. Mm-hmm. I find that that really helps. And I do feel, it is a challenge, but I do feel that if I'm doing it regularly, mm-hmm. It gets easier.
Yeah, it does get easier.
You know,
easier,
and it yes. does feel yes. very, and I did read that there's, it's not just meditation, but that kind of meditation
okay.
that you're talking about
yeah.
and that I'm talking about
yeah.
Has more health benefits than, say, a guided meditation.
Ah, interesting.
Or a, but anyways, I think it's all good. Like yeah. to find oh, yeah. some place to start. Mm-hmm. But, so another thing too, that we didn't really talk about, except I just mentioned it now, is the guided meditation, because your mind can pay attention to words.
Yeah.
Instead of having it free, like, oh, it's going over here, it's going over there, right, it's going over here, it's
right.
going over there.
You can give it a job and yeah. it can focus on something very intently.
So
and,
yeah. to the person that asked this question, you know, there's a lot of, like, if you Google it, you know, to find a guided meditation CD, Kelly Howell has some good guided meditation CDs. Lazarus also, but then that's a little bit out there for some people. But basically a guided meditation would just be someone, you're listening to a tape that maybe has a tape or a CD.
that An 8-track, a record.
that has some kind of a
a wax cylinder.
Peaceful music and peaceful toast. Peaceful.
Sorry.
Peaceful. Peaceful music. Peaceful. And you'll hear someone saying, you know, take a deep breath. And you just do what they say, basically. And it's nice. It's really nice, actually. All right.
You should make some guided meditation CDs.
You think so?
Yeah. But of course, if any of you have other insights, please comment away.
Boy, we talked a lot, huh?
I know.
I think I talked a lot.
Well, that's what the podcast is.
Okay, oh my God, so look what time it is. I know. We've talked for an
it's
hour.
It's an hour. It's an hour already. Bun in the oven report. Sorry, bun in the oven long. Report.
Okay, the bun in the oven report. Okay, so we heard from Jenny. Of Jenny and Tanya, the couple that are having a baby. Jenny's the dyke, Tanya's more the femme, and Jenny is the one carrying the baby. And they already have a daughter. This baby that is ready to come out of the oven is a girl. They know that for sure. So anyways, Jenny wrote us a nice email about where they are at, and Jenny says that the baby's due date is just around the corner, and she's been visiting her midwife now once every 2 weeks or so, and things are still going really, really well. So it's really exciting, but they know that their little girl is probably on the bigger side because Jenny and her brother, they were 9 pounds when they were when they came into the world. So they're scheduled for their final ultrasound the first week of December to determine the baby's exact weight, so they will know.
The due date is around Christmas, they're saying.
Yes, yes. Okay.
But the baby is like 2 weeks ahead, kind of, right? They're yeah. saying mm-hmm. in terms of growth.
So it's exciting. But she is getting big and she feels very uncomfortable, but she's thankful to be experiencing all of it. But they have been doing all their paperwork, getting all the legal stuff out of the way so they can focus on the baby when the baby comes. But an interesting thing is that they have noticed that their pets, they have 4 dogs and a cat, that they have started to sense that something's going on.
And the pets are keeping a close eye on Jenny.
Yeah, interesting, huh? Yeah, they know. They yeah. know somebody's on the way.
So thank you, Jenny and
Tanya.
Thank
you, Jenny. And we're so excited because probably the next time we hear from you, the baby will have been born.
Maybe, yeah. So happy Thanksgiving. I know they were planning to travel for Thanksgiving and that was a
yes.
concern.
Yes.
So we are thinking of you. We're sending good thoughts with you. And now we'll move on to a little music section, because we did have a question concerning music.
Okay,
this is concerning guitar strings. The question was, how to change guitar strings? They said they've been playing for a while, but no one really ever showed them how to change strings. And their little string holder pegs have been taking a beating. They said, I guess I don't know how to pull them out of the guitar without denting or scratching them and put them back in hard enough so they'll keep the strings down. Okay, so it sounds like this person has an acoustic guitar with steel strings. So that's what we're going to talk about. If you have a classical guitar with nylon strings, don't even worry about it. I'm not going to talk about that. Those pegs that you're talking about, when I first started changing my guitar strings when I was in high school, you know how I would take them out? I would bite them and pull them out with my teeth.
Just a savage.
I don't recommend that now, but just letting you know. That could be done in an emergency. What I use now is a Leatherman. I just use pliers. I just plier down on them and pull them out. But here's the thing. When you're taking off the old strings, you don't want to do that. You actually want to unwind the tuners, the pegs tuners first. And you don't want to cut the strings so they snap right off. for one thing, that's dangerous. Yes. It could poke you in the eye. And for another thing, I don't know really how valid this is, but in my mind, you know, it's kind of being mean to the guitar because it's such a shocking experience. Because, you know, you're changing the amount of tension that is placed on the wood of the guitar so suddenly and shockingly. So be gentle, unwind the string, unwrap it from the little peg, and then get your pliers and take out the pegs that are in the saddle there. And the other things to know when you're changing strings is that, you know, on the head of your guitar, when you're winding the string around the peg, you want to have the strings be at an angle to the nut. The nut is that little, is the piece that goes across, that is between the head and the neck. And it's the piece that has grooves in it, and you place the string in the grooves. That thing that has the grooves, that's called the nut. So you want the strings to be as much at an angle as you can. And the way you do that is by winding the string around the peg so that the string winds down. You know what I mean? So the string is traveling across the neck from the body of the guitar, it's traveling across, and then it goes around the peg and it winds down so that I need to make a video, don't I? I'm trying to describe this and I'm going,
I think she would know though, because she, someone who's listening who doesn't know guitar or doesn't
is not looking at a guitar.
Yeah, but it's really for the person
when I say the string should mm-hmm. be, okay. So in other words, you're really pulling the string as much as you can. It's not by a lot, but you're pulling the string down because you want to create tension on that nut. That's the main thing to remember. And the other thing too is, that's it really. That's it. And I was just going to say, cut the strings to make sure you have a nice... You know, that's nice and neat, but that's not.
You know
too
what?
Important.
Yeah. Can you? I'm sorry. No. Yes, it's important. Please cut it, because I swear to God, we see some people who have their beautiful guitars, beautiful sound. They play beautifully, and then the giant tail end of the string is just sticking out all like in your eyeball.
All the leftovers are just like,
yeah, they're out. Like,
yeah.
I'm like.
Like
cut
antennas,
it.
Just wing, wing,
just
wing.
Cut it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
But also, if you're planning on having a gig, I would not change them before the gig, right before the gig.
Changing them like a day before or
maybe
two days before
would be a little better, because the strings need some, they need to get what, acclimated?
Yeah, kind of stretch out.
Yeah,
you know,
stretch
limber
out a bit.
Up a little.
Because they're going to be very sparkly when you start playing.
They might be too bright.
And it might compromise, or it might just, you know, not be the sound that you're looking for.
Yeah.
And they're going to need a little more tuning then.
normal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what? Okay, how you said, don't know how to put the pegs in so that they will keep the strings down, how to put them back hard enough to keep the strings down. Sometimes you do have to, like, keep a thumb down on that peg while you tighten up your string. I've had to do that regularly. Because, you know, you're tightening the string, and then, boom, the peg pops there up out of the saddle, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh! So, yeah, just, you might have to hold it down while you tighten. But, you know, if you have more questions, email me. Email us.
Good luck.
Okay.
And be careful about your eyes.
Yes. And your fingers.
Those strings are dangerous.
Yeah, they've
just
drawn
stab
blood,
you
man.
In blood.
They've
yeah. Yeah, I've, it's like making jewelry.
That's right.
You get stabbed all the time.
Okay.
All right. So we move on to Kumin's Cat Corner. Kumin's Cat Corner. So Kumin has been reunited with her friend, Little Peter. Now, Little Peter, if you know anything about Kumin, Kumin used to have a friend named Peter. Peter is the name of the heater. Peter the heater. And out here in California, something that's so different from in Hawaii is that they have these old-fashioned wall heaters. And Kumin used to have a best friend named Peter, who is this wonderful heater in this very old house. And she would just love Peter. And every time I would turn Peter on, she would just be right in front of Peter, soaking up all the yummy heat that Peter would emit. So anyways, now she's been reunited with Little Peter. And Little Peter is a tiny heater that is in... Sounds like I'm reading from a children's book.
My goodness.
Little Peter is a tiny heater that is in our bathroom. And thank goodness for Little Peter.
And now in more animal news... We spent this past weekend, part of it, at a Thankful Turkeys celebration over at Animal Acres, which is a farmed animal sanctuary and compassionate living center north of LAX. It's in Acton, California. And it was a fundraiser for the facility. $30 a ticket, and that got you into the facility so you could rub elbows or rub knees. I know sheep and lambs and goats don't have elbows. They have knees. But we got to pet a lot of them and feed some of them and then enjoy a vegan Thanksgiving meal.
That was awesome.
With 400 other people. They had a record number of guests at that fundraiser. So that was really great. Yes, it was a really good
okay,
dinner.
So this turkey, it was so incredible because it even had fake turkey skin.
And we think it was made with tofu. Well, crunchy, probably crunchy. The whole thing was made with tofu somehow. I don't know how to make these fake meats. It's a little scary. We don't usually eat them. But
it's nice to pretend it's...
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
The old days.
It's kind of novel, you know? The pumpkin cake, though, was the most impressive piece in that meal, I have to say. Don't you agree? For a vegan cake, oh my God. Even for a non-vegan cake, for any cake, it was awesome.
That cake was the best, maybe the best cake I've ever had.
No, we didn't get a recipe. But we will move on to the next segment of this episode.
Wait, say why the cake was so good.
Well, it just tasted good. What do
no,
you mean?
Come on, hey, see, you're so dykey, yeah? You just like no details.
Look who's talking, eh? Oh, so dykey are you.
The cake, the flavor was so intense. And it was not just intense, it was moist. Mm-hmm. Moist, mm-hmm. Moist, moist, moist. Mm-hmm. It was just mm-hmm. so good. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't stuff myself with the...
mashed potatoes.
The turkey, the fake turkey, I would have had room. And I'm like dessert person, right? I couldn't finish the cake. Mm. And it was just fabulous and pretty much a crime that piece was thrown away because we didn't have anything to take it home in. Oh, okay. I'm just chatting it up. Okay. So I got to tell them the story.
Okay.
I don't have time, right? Do I have time?
You have time.
Okay. Okay. So I have just been... Toast and I have been dealing with a shower issue. The shower... You know how, like, you turn on the water and then you wait for the temperature that you want the water to be, and then you lift up that little thingamajig and then the shower comes out? Okay, well, anyways.
And the water comes out of the shower head instead of the...
Yeah, yeah.
The okay.
The water comes out of the shower head. And then, so anyways, that little thingamajig that you pull up hasn't really been working well. For a while, you could kind of do little tricks to make it work, but... As time went on, less and less water would be coming out of the shower head, and more water would still be coming out of the faucet.
The spigot thing? Yeah, faucet.
Whatever
yeah.
part. So anyways.
The bottom part.
I bought all kinds of stuff to just try and make it work. And none of those things worked because of the size issue and all kinds of stuff. So anyways, I was just had it up to here, and I told Toes, oh my God, I'm just going to die because... And here's was that femme drama, right? I was just like, I'm just going to die because I'm not having a hot enough shower. All the hot water is coming out of the faucet and I have nothing on top. Nothing on the top. So anyways, so Tosa says, okay, well, you know what? Here, I'll try fix it. So this was just incredible dyke behavior. Okay, so all you dykes, listen up because this is what you want to do.
Oh, gosh.
If your fam is complaining and she's up to here about something,
you better jump.
Okay,
high.
So jump, okay? Because Toast didn't just, you know, wait and go do something else and then fix it. She all of us, and I didn't expect this from her, but I walked by the bathroom and there she was fixing it, and it was an incredible dyke visual that I loved because. I walked by, and there Toast is. And, okay, mind you now, a lot of the dykey types of chores that happen around here, I do. Not the trash and sticking my hand down the disposal. We all know that. I don't do that. Toast does that. But
I don't stick my hand down the disposal.
You do. Oh,
that's dangerous.
You?
No.
To get out a gookie yuck that's stuck in there?
But I do take out the trash.
You stick your hand in there to get out a gookie yuck?
No, I don't. I rent the disposal.
No, but if something's funny and you're like, oh, something's in there and you have to get it out.
No. I'm too scared to do that.
So how do you get it out?
Look, the illusion is shattered. I don't know. I just rent the disposal.
But if it's not going down to the disposal. But you work with that snake thing and all
the
crap.
Then the dike comes out and the snake. Yeah. I put the snake down there. I don't. I don't.
Okay, so anyway.
All right then.
What? Woo, I was telling
this
a
episode
story.
Is getting long. Okay.
I was telling a story. What was it about? I mean, what part was
that? You were making sure that everyone knew that you actually do a lot of the.
Yeah. Okay. So, but I was just very thrilled because I walked in on Toast in jeans and a white t-shirt. Lying down in the tub, like lying down on her back, totally just looking so intense, fixing that thingamajig for me. Full on fixing it. And I heard, like, you know, bang, 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 and all these sounds. And I was like, wow.
Oh,
just.
Boy.
And I walked by and I said, you look so dykey. And I walked away and I said, I love it. Because she did. And she looked really good.
Thank you.
You did.
Oh, that wasn't very dicky. Yeah. I gotta go. Oh, thanks, sir.
But anyways, okay.
Oh, well, the best part was that I was successful in fixing it.
I know. And she fixed it.
Because after that, I was like, oh, I better fix it, boy. Oh.
And the great thing.
Oh, shame. You look all dykey and then... Oh, I fail. No, fix them.
And the great thing was that I was in the other room and I heard her fix it. Like I heard, you
know,
the delightful sounds of a working shower. And not only did I hear that, I heard her turn it off and test it again to make sure that it was her work was good. And then not only that, I heard her turn it off and do it again. to make
really,
sure.
I did it three times?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I didn't even remember.
You did.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I was, you know why? Probably, you know probably why I did it the third time? Because I was so proud. I just had to do it again.
Well.
To see it.
You
yeah,
did.
Yeah, it worked.
And so she came by the room that I was in and she said, I think I fixed it.
Oh, I think I fixed it.
And I said, all you deserve
right. A reward.
A reward. You do.
And that's the end of that story.
Deserve a reward. Well, it is because you fell asleep. And that now that's the end of that story.
That's the end of that story.
Okay. So anyways, I just had to tell them that dyke story.
Well, thank you. And on that note, let's let everybody know about December 10th, which is now Day Without a Gay. Check
I've
it out, man.
You know, I never heard of that
Check
before.
Check it out.
It's Day? The first annual Day Without a Gay.
Well, it's the first. I don't know if there's going to be an annual thing, but daywithoutagay.org. December 10th is actually International Human Rights Day. But, you know, people who are fighting for civil rights for gays said, hey, let's take this opportunity to show the world the love that gay people have. And on December 10th, they are encouraging people not to call in sick to work, but to call in gay and donate their time to service. So this website that they've set up, you can check it out to join or to search a list of human rights organizations that need volunteers. December 10th, daywithoutagay.org. And also, on a related note, just want to let everybody know, yes, we did not put out an episode of Girl Meets Girl for the past couple of weeks, but we did post two more entries which cover our discussion with a Prop 8 supporter who wrote in. And again, we just want to thank them because it is a great service to be able to dialogue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, to dialogue with...
someone who's not malicious.
Yeah, and somebody who takes the time and energy and has respect enough to, you know, mm-hmm. dialogue and really yeah. share their thoughts. And it's a great insight into how... You know, what, because honestly, how often do you actually talk in a meaningful way with a Prop 8 supporter, right? If you're on the gay civil rights side, rah, 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 gays should deserve civil rights, blah, blah, blah. I mean, how often do you get to dialogue with somebody who says no to that
mm-hmm.
and hear them out and hear what their point of view is. So we've been in discussion with somebody like that, with a Prop 8 supporter,
mm-hmm.
Just through email and through our blog. And our blog is siennaandtoast.blogspot.com. All one word, siennaandtoast.blogspot.com. And of course, we'll put up the link in our show notes. But the two posts that we posted this past couple of weeks covered the idea of democratic statutes and race or ethnicity. So yeah, very geeky for the geeks out there. And we do have plans to continue those posts. Probably another, this is going to be a long discussion because the email that was sent to us was very long. So it's probably going to be another, gosh, five emails or five posts maybe. So keep checking and we'll keep announcing it. More gay stuff. More gay stuff. Did you know there's an independent women's football league?
Mm-hmm.
Professional women's football people. And we actually spent just a little bit of time with one of the future quarterbacks in the independent women's football league. The Southern California Breakers. That's who she's playing for. But we'll put a link to that football team up in the show notes too. And speaking of quarterbacks, that's such a corny segue.
That is cornball. Hawaii has a quarter.
Hawaii is the 50th state admitted to the union. So we were the last one in line, but we finally got a quarter.
And we actually have one because someone was so thoughtful. Okay, do you guys remember Myra, the banana bread maker? Well, her sister's name is Jen, and Jen was the one who was giving us all the pregnancy information, all the details about it. She lives in Hawaii, and she sent some quarters over for us.
And this quarter went into circulation on November 3rd. We'll have links up.
Yeah. About that. It's beautiful. I think it looks great.
Yeah. It has the actual islands stamped on there, along with a statue of King Kamehameha.
A statue.
Stamped on there. And then the state motto.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they chose that. Mm-hmm. It's very meaningful. Not Me like too. A hula dancer. Nothing against hula, but right. It's good to have the
history.
Yeah, the historic symbolism of the fact that, okay, Hawaii was a kingdom with the king.
Mm-hmm.
For real, king. And the state motto.
Yeah, aren't you glad they didn't go touristy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would have been like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the state motto is Ua mau ke ea oka aina I ka pono, which means the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness. I'm also glad they put that on there too. Alrighty.
All right.
We're almost at the end of this very long episode.
Aren't we at the end?
Well, there's one more thing, because as people listen to this, it's going to be the start of the holiday shopping frenzy.
It is.
Possibly. I don't know how frenzied people are going to get this year. But
I actually, today, what is today? Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually told Toes, I am going shopping today and I'm not going out of the house. I'm not going to shop after today because it's nuts. And today was nuts.
Today already, was nuts. It's not even Thanksgiving.
I did all
yet.
The grocery shopping. I did all last minute crafty stuff that we got to do. And then it was just nuts.
Well,
this
season, and apparently this is like an annual thing, but this is very, okay, check this out, people. This is very similar to the mentality of, yes, on Prop 8. The supporters of Prop 8, I think, kind of have the similar mentality. There's a campaign out there called the Friend or Foe Christmas campaign. Okay. And this campaign has a list of retailers who choose not to use explicit Christmas references in their advertising and marketing, but rather, instead of using Christmas references, they choose to use more inclusive language, such as happy holidays or season's greetings. And they have a list of retailers, and in the naughty, it's called the naughty and nice list. And in the naughty category are the retailers who choose not to use explicitly Christmas in their advertising. And they have a Help Save Christmas Action Pack. It's serious. This is a totally serious campaign.
No, I know. I'm just laughing.
I know. Isn't it amazing? Okay. For people who think that including non-Christians in social greetings, in other words, saying things like season greetings or happy holidays, for people who maybe are not Christians and maybe Jewish instead, you know? But people who think that including non-Christians in season's greetings is the same as trying to obliterate Christmas. So, I don't know. It's just a trip. It's just amazing to me. It was really fascinating. I actually read the Naughty and Nice list. I scanned through it. There's a whole bunch of retailers on there. But, yeah. I don't know. I think without stepping back and realizing that, wow, some people do not have Christmas as part of their religion. They just don't. And that's not a bad thing. Without stepping back and realizing that, wow.
I think that's a waste of time.
The world is greater, you know, is bigger than just Christianity.
Yep.
You know, anyway. I'll put links up in the show notes. I don't think I articulated that whole thing very well, but
you did fine.
I think it's one of those things where if you get the idea, you get it. And if you don't get it, you just don't get it. Okay.
What do you mean? If who doesn't get it?
if you're of the mind that saying season's greetings is the same as trying to destroy Christmas,
yeah,
then you're not going to get it. If I explain it well, you're not going to get it. Right? Happy holidays. You're trying to obliterate Christmas. Oh my gosh, how dare you? You don't say Merry Christmas.
I don't have much to say about that because I think it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think it's a waste of time.
Okay, well, I'll stop talking about it
right now. No, I mean, not you wasting time.
I know what you mean.
I think, oh my God, these people are putting energy to for this. And I think it's just, I'm just like, I'm gone already.
Yeah. Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving!
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Okay, and
and thank you for continuing to listen
to our long episode.
To our podcast. And you know what? Please never think that we don't care about all of you, even if we sometimes don't come out with a podcast. We will continue to do a podcast as long as there will be people listening to it. And we appreciate all of your support and feel so truly grateful that we have a nice community going on here. And all of you are such a part of that. You guys are it. And we're so grateful. So thank you so much for making it another great year.
God bless.
That's fine.
That was just weird, huh? That was just weird for me to say.
I don't know. I was just like, you're channeling someone.
Yeah. That's how I feel. I feel like, God bless.
God bless
God
you.
Bless us all.
God bless you. God bless us. And bless you and you and you. And Kumin and Prince Yogurt.
And the animals. All the animals and the plants.
And Mitty.
And the relationships.
And Snoopy. And Rocket.
And Moo.
I don't know who Moo is.
And more.
Who's Moo?
Somebody else's kitten.
Oh, whose kitten is Moo?
Oh, I had it up on here. Somebody's kitten. I think it was Moo.
Cute.
Yeah, cute-a. Cute-a.
Well, I guess we sort of made up for missing.
Yeah, if we just go half an hour more,
it's like two in one.
Two podcasts. We're not going to do that.
Yeah, don't worry.
Because we got to sleep.
All right. Okay. Well, anyways.
Gotta bocha.
Thank you so much for hanging in there and listening. And some people actually called us wondering if we were fine, and we're fine. And thank you for your concern. So sweet, everybody. So sweet. We're so lucky, yeah.
I know, gay people are so nice.
The gays got it. And the straights who love gays got it too. Because there's a lot of really nice straight people.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That was so touching to hear and feel support from straight people with the whole Prop 8 campaign.
As it was going,
and afterwards too. Like after the vote was in and everything, mm-hmm. just to, because, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, how long have we been trying to end this episode?
So long, yeah? Farewell.
And she's making the hand motions too. Oh my gosh.
I was not.
Goodbye. Right?
Goodbye.
Was it goodbye or good night?
I don't know. I think we have to sing the whole song and find out.
Okay. That's not happening either.
So long, farewell. That's all I know.
Auf Wiedersehen, good night.
It's good night. No, it's goodbye. It's goodbye. Because that means goodbye, right?
I don't know. Auf Wiedersehen. I didn't even know what.
I think that means goodbye.
That? When you're living in Hawaii, you're like, what the hell is that? Auf Wiedersehen. Right? I don't know what that is. You gotta say sayonara or aloha.
Okay.
Or you say nene bird.
Yeah, nene. Going nene. I'm
gonna go nene bird now.
Moi yeah. moi. Using moi moi. Go sleep already.
Okay, it's getting late. Good night.